knowledge. You're like, if we are in a meeting, some significant order comes into the meeting, we say we'd like to recognize the presence of such and such a person. So this, the similar way, we recognize the authorship, the scholarship of Srila Vyasadeva. So, you go to the text. Darai is shat te vegan. Rudras twatma saririnam. Yasmi no tam idam protam. Bishwam sati watam tusu. Dara yishati te vegam. Rudras twatma saririnam. Yasmi no tam idam protam. Vishwam sati watam tusu. Can someone? It's longitude. Idam, this whole universe, protam, latitude, visvam, the whole universe, sati, a clock, eva, us, tantusu, in threads. Translation and purport by is confirmed Acharya Srila Abhayacharana Vinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Like a cloth woven of threads extending for its length and breadth, this entire universe in all its latitude and longitude is situated under different potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Shiva is the incarnation of the Lord, and thus he represents the super soul in the embodied soul. He can sustain your forceful waves on his head. Please responsibly repeat, like a cloth woven of threads, extending for its length and breadth. This entire universe in all its longitude and latitude and longitude is situated under different potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Shiva is the incarnation of the Lord, and thus he represents the super soul in the embodied soul. He can sustain your forceful waves on his head. Who is speaking? You've been following up with this class all this while? Huh? Bhagavad. You agree with what he said? Who has been here before? Okay, Christopher, do you agree with what he said? Do you agree with him? You agree with him? He said it's Bhagirat who is speaking. Is it? Do you agree with him or not? Okay, thank you. So, okay. Bhagirath is the one speaking here. So let's go into the purport. You see, a Prabhupada so mercifully wanted to sustain his scholarship, his devotional scholarship in our movement. And therefore, he didn't want devotees to fight about what they think the speakers of the Bhagavatam have said. Prabhupada didn't want us to fight about what Sukadeva Goswami has said, He didn't want us to fight about what Parikshit Maharaj has said. Bhagavatam is an embodiment of different dialogue boxes. And so here we find a dialogue box between Bhagirath and Monaganga or Mother Ganges. Ganges was to be invoked. Bhagirath was to invoke Ganges, Monaganga, to the earth. But what was his intention? And how did he prepare for that duty? He had an obligation to be able to save his forefathers, to liberate his forefathers. But again, we find that there were some preparations he made in advance before embarking on that project. That is called strategic planning. So, let's read the purpose of Srila Prabhupada. Very illuminating, stimulating purpose that he's given to us in all of the Bhagavatam, and not only the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, other books of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he gave his purpose. And Prabhupada's purpose also, he didn't just get his purpose from upstairs. You see, he quoted, he will give references to the previous acharyas. Works of other acharyas was what he relied on. And of course, he gave his own input based on his realizations. And so in all fields of discipline, if you go even to the academics, you don't just say something. If you say something, you have to back up what you have said with some other professor who had done some work in that field. What was his finding? So in our Vaishnava system also, when we say something, what we are saying should be backed up with some evidence from the scripture. That's the whole idea of the purport. So we find Prabhupada gives his purport, and in his purport he gives references to other points of in the Vedic literature. So the water of the Ganges is supposed to rest on the head of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who sustains the entire universe by different potencies. Lord Shiva is described in the Brahma Samhita 5:45, Shira Yatta Dadi Vikara Visesayu Gat Sanjayate Nahihata Pritak Astihe To Yaha Sambhuta Pi Tata Samupiti Karyat Govind Adipursam Tamaham Bajam. Milk changes into yogurt when mixed with a yogurt culture. But actually, yogurt is constitutionally nothing but milk. Similarly, Govinda, the Supreme Personality of God, assumes the form of Lord Shiva for the special purpose of material transactions. I offer my obeisances at Lord Govinda's lotus feet. This is the statement of Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma is our great-grandfather. Again, we find out Prabhupada didn't just speak, but he gives references to even the great-grandfather of this universe. And so, what could be more authoritative than the words of a great-grandfather? Father may say something, but you know, the great-grandfather, that is also the father's authority. And so, we find this wonderful purpose given by Prabhupada, and that is one of the reasons why even mundane scholars, they appreciated Prabhupada's work. Prabhupada is not only recognized in the Vaishnava or in the devotional community only. He's also recognized in the secular setting, amongst the, in the community of scholars, he is also recognized. Because he followed the principles laid down in terms of procedural methodologies on how to bring about facts and figures based on scholarship. So, I continue. Lord Shiva is the supreme personality of Godhead in the same sense that yogurt is also milk, although at the same time it is not milk. For the maintenance of the material world, there are three incarnations, Brahma, Vishnu, Maheshwara, Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is Vishnu in an incarnation for the mode of ignorance. The material world exists predominantly in the mode of ignorance. Therefore, Lord Shiva is compared here to the longitude and latitude of the entire universe, which resembles a cloth woven of threads extending for both its length and breadth. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyana Jana Salaka Saksu On Militam Jena Tasmai Si Gurave Namaha Si Chaitanya Anodhistan Sarvitam Jena Bhutali Swayam Rupa Kadama Yam Badati Swa Kadanka Vancha Kalpa Taribya Cha Kripa Sundubya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnava. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Sri Vasadi Gora Bhaktivin. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we are happy to be here, for one. I find a lot of difference, because I've been, for the past 5 days, I've been associating with mundane scholars at Jacksonville. We are there for some international colloquia, and it's all about, you know, mundane scholarship. But the beauty of it is that, you know, some of them, we are lucky that they come close and they are able to get contact information, and life goes on. That could be the beginning of their road to the devotional community. So the difference is so great. And when you come to the Vaishnava community, it's a different energy completely. This morning I was so much like in ecstasy when I was chanting, because the environment is completely different, and I could feel how the whole area is actually enhancing my little desire to become associated with the Lord in his holy name. Now, this is not something strange, because even the social scientists have come up with theories that the environment impacts on the individual. Environment where you operate impacts on you. So those of you who are so fortunate to be in this very community, what could be more of a fortune than that? That you are right here, under the control, under the watchful eyes of Sisi Radha Samasundra, under the watchful eyes of Sisi Krishna Balaram, and of course, the Mahapatita Pavana, Lord Gauranitai. So I don't think that you count any fortune more than this. The only thing is that, you know, you take proper advantage. And so the classes are there, kirtans are there, the artists there, and virtually everyone can actually become entangled in the service of the Lord here, just by staying in this environment, because the environment will impact on us. And if even one is not interested in coming to the Bhagavatam class, by staying in this environment, you become, you know, desensitized to the material illusion, and then one day you get up from all of the entanglements and say, well, I'm going to the Bhagavatam class today. Because we're supposed to hear the Bhagavatam class every day anyway. So here, in this very text, Bhagirath is making some persuasion, is persuading Ganga, Mother Ganges, to come down. And persuasion, that is a very powerful act in leading people, in managing projects. Because sometimes someone doesn't want to even do something. This is very good for our temple presidents and regional secretaries and GBCs. Sometimes someone doesn't want to do something and you have to persuade the person to do it. You have to put in, you have to present some logic, sound argument, convincing ideologies. But there is no force. It's just that, you know, you're bringing up some points to convince. It's just like you have a child. A child is carrying a knife. The child wants to pick some knife in the kitchen and is playing with it. You know that he's going to injure the child. But what do you do to get that child to, you know, to drop the knife? You just go rush after him? No. you embark on some persuasion. And sometimes the persuasion also comes with, like, you know, something to placate the person's mind. Then you tell the child, okay, Govinda, look, here is a buffy. And then he says, oh, mommy, let me have it. Or don't, give me the knife and I'll give you the buffy. So, this is exactly what Bhagirath is trying to do here. He was persuading Mother Ganges to come down. Because Mother Ganges was willing to come down, but she gave two conditions. Who knows those two conditions? Who remembers the two conditions? Yes? Mm-hmm. Sure. Right. Thank you very much. So, although Mother Ganges made some conditions, and you know, if someone makes a condition, it means that the person is not willing to do it, isn't it? Huh? Because that's the difference between, you know, conditional love and unconditional love. That's the because type of love. So Mother Ganges has gave two conditions that if this is fulfilled, then I don't mind. And I don't mind coming. And Bhagirath, after presenting all of the facts and figures to convince Mother Ganges to come, to persuade her to come, so eventually she yielded to come. But the important thing here in this purport is that Srila Prabhupada brings Lord Shiva into view. Why? Because Lord Shiva is going to have to be the person to sustain Mother Ganges. And Prabhupada is mentioning the purport here that actually Lord Shiva is an incarnation of the Lord. You know, sometimes people tend to, you know, undermine Lord Shiva. No, but we don't have to. Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, Prabhupada mentioned the purport, these three deities are in charge of this universe. Lord Shiva is in charge of the mode of ignorance. Lord Brahma is in charge of the mode of passion. And Lord Vishnu, of course, is in charge of the mode of goodness. Lord Brahma creates. Lord Shiva helps with the annihilation. And of course, Lord Vishnu maintains. And remember, in the beginning of the cosmic creation, there were some arguments amongst the sages some debate who amongst the three deities is the Supreme Lord. So they embark on some scholars, maybe three or four scholars can combine to do a research, and it happens. So then the sages, they combine to embark upon a research. So they deputed Bhrigu to go and, you know, figure out things. So Bhrigu went to went on with his experiment, and then he discovered that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Lord. So again, we'll find out Lord Shiva is so important to the Vaishnavas. Although he is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's an incarnation of the Lord, he is very important, he's so important to us. Because even with the philosophy, the thesis that was given by Lord Shiva to his own consort stipulates clearly that there is no better object of worship than the object, than the paraphernalia of Lord Vishnu. In other words, the servant of Lord Vishnu. I know in the Padma Purana there is a story, how Lord Shiva was actually running after one Vaishnava. And so Lord Shiva's consort was even amazed. He said, "What is going on? Tell me, why are you so much after this guy? You are glorifying him, you want to serve him and all these things. Why?" So Lord Shiva explained, "Because this fellow is able to satisfy Lord Vishnu. He is a servant of Vishnu, he is a Vaishnava. And therefore I become obligated to him." Again, Prabhupada would always quote this verse, "Vaishnavanam yata sambhu." That's of Lord Shiva is the greatest of all the Vaishnavas. How is someone great? How does someone become great, a great person? By demeaning everyone else? By minimizing everyone else? No. Lord Shiva became great, a great Vaishnava, because he had respect for the Vaishnavas. He had a culture of respect for the Vaishnavas. And therefore, just an ordinary, so-called ordinary Vaishnava on planet Earth, who was trying to satisfy Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva saw the essence of his service, and he was attracted to this very Vaishnava. He was going after him, begging for service. So this is how the great devotees become great, by being dasa dasa anudas. So again, Prabhupada mentions that Lord Shiva is actually the Supreme Lord himself. At the same time, he's not the Supreme Lord. He gives the comparison in terms of a yogurt. Yogurt is from milk. So one could say that because yogurt is from milk, so yogurt is milk. That is not true, because it doesn't have the taste of milk. But at the same time, we can't say yogurt is not coming from milk. So Lord Shiva is just that an extension of Lord Vishnu, or is an incarnation of Lord Vishnu for a specific purpose. And even Lord Brahma, sometimes Lord Vishnu has to take the position of Lord Brahma when there is no one qualified to take up that position. So essentially, what we should do is to have a cultural respect to the demigods, but not necessarily putting them on our altar, because Prabhupada never put any demigod on our altars. And what you don't see on the altars, don't go and do it at home. Correct? What we don't see Prabhupada do, we shouldn't do it. What we don't see on our altars, we shouldn't go and create it in our own homes on our altars. If we follow the simple methodology Prabhupada has given us to worship the Lord, in this life, and we follow the regulatory principles of freedom, in this life, if we just simply chant 16 rounds, in this life, Prabhupada has given us assurance. If we simply serve in his mission without running away because we want some cheap love of God, in this life, he will personally arrange for us to go back to God. Because, take for instance, if you are going to, if you say you want to go and see a Potus, you want to go and see Potus. You know what Potus is? Who knows what Potus is? P-O-T-U-S. Who knows? Great. It seems you are politically inclined. So, if you want to go and see the President of the United States, and you drive to the White House, and you say you want to see the President, will they allow you to see him? No. Except you know someone there. And if you know someone there, the person may even come right at the gate to pick you up. So similarly, to go back to God, it is not simply by our individual efforts, but we need someone, and that is why Lord Krishna said tad vidhi pranipatena. The word used by Lord Krishna himself is approach. And I have we sometimes hear all this horrible negative philosophy, but that even the literal meaning of words, people try to twist it. Approach means what? Go to this person, go to someone, approach. So we can say something else besides what the literal meaning of words are. We do know that words have connotative and denotative meanings. But approach denotatively means physically you have to get to someone and, you know, get close to someone. And a typical example is the case, an intriguing, stimulating example is the case of Arjuna and Krishna. Krishna was instructing Arjuna on the battlefield, and Arjuna, of course, was making some arguments. But the point is, they were there together interacting. So sometimes people say, you don't need the spiritual master, but this is the standard of Lord Krishna. So for those who were lucky to meet Prabhupada, what could be a fortune more than that? Just by meeting Prabhupada, you have registered your name in the college. Jayadwita mentioned to us in Mayapur how he actually moved into a college campus with his friend. So he was going to classes, you know, with a friend. But he was not a registered student. So he couldn't go in for exams. Similarly, if someone is not a registered student, he may not have access to the spiritual world, because we can't go there by our own, you know, a powerful effort. And for those who are made proper, their doors are open. Their doors of the spiritual world is open. If we simply follow what Prabhupada has given to us. And there's no need to twist the philosophy. There's no need to try to change anything. And so it's a simple philosophy, but, you know, simple things could also be made very complex by complex people. And so here in this purpose, it is a simple phenomenon that Lord Shiva is an incarnation of the Lord. And like we have the gopis, they were even praying to Mother Katyayani. And so someone could pick up that type of energy and say, well, the gopis, they were even praying to, you know, to demigoddess, so I should also do that. But no. They were praying to Mordecai to, for what? To let them have Nanda Gopa's son, in other words, Lord Krishna, to be their husband. And so in a nutshell, we do have respect, and we should respect devatas. Like Lord Krishna mentions in the Gita, if one's intelligence is smeared with material desires, then there's a tendency to abandon the worship of Lord Krishna, to go for, you know, the worship of the devatas. But that's not what Prabhupada gave to us. And so essentially, Lord Shiva and other demigods, we have to have a culture of respect for them. And at the same time, we have to understand that our worship, our dedication is for Sri Sri Radha Samasundra, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Sri Gauranatai. And of course, our daily pujas to Prabhupada cannot be underestimated, because that is the link. And therefore it is important for us to imbibe and understand what Bhagirath is mentioning here. Pass within Mother Ganges to come down, to be able to help in doing some cleansing, to do some purification, to liberate his forefathers. So we should be concerned. Bhagirath was concerned about his forefathers. We should also be concerned about how to facilitate the liberation of even people who have left this world before we are born in our families. And that is the essence of devotional service. That will become perfected souls, so many people in our families will benefit from our works. So, we'd like to stop there, and maybe there are some comments or some questions. We could entertain that, and then we'll move on to the next question. Yes, Madhuri. Oh, great. What's the name, Mataji? Okay. All right. Arvo. So that's a nice point that, you know, that was generated here. Yeah. Like, if we look at the example that Papa had laid down in our movement, and we simply follow that example, who will be able to draw again hundreds and thousands of people into this movement in America also. So yes, the love that is being much preached about is at a diminishing return in our movement. That's a fact. I can give you just a gross example right now. There was an 18 years old college student. She's just a fresher in the university. And there is a Bhakti club in that university. The parents of this girl don't want her to do anything with the Hare Krishna. So she would hide and do all of her chanting and all the rest of them. To the point that, I think I was mentioning this to the youth, the young devotees yesterday when I was with them. To the point that the girl would go into to the restroom to chant. And one day the mother discovered that she was not in her room, and so she break into the toilet and found a girl there. The same girl is on campus, where she's literally like a little bit free to chant without any checks. Now, a devotee who also understands the trouble that this girl was going through was contacted. The person who is managing the Bhakti club was contacted. The girl mentioned to him that, this is my situation. So in case my mother had threatened that I shouldn't even attend the Bhakti club here. So in case my mother comes to ask you anything about me, just tell her that, I've never been to this Bhakti club. And the devotee said, no. If your mother comes to me to ask, I must tell your mother that you've been coming here. And I wanted to take these papers, take these files, and sign up students from on campus to sign up for the Bhakti club. So she came back to me to ask me that this is what is transpiring, Maharaj. The guy is not ready to protect my devotional interest, but he's ready to engage me. So I said, all right, so decide what you have to do. If I were you, I wouldn't want to be exploited, all in the name of devotion. You get the point? We can actually exploit people all in the name of devotion. And exploitation is what is very predominant outside there. And instead of really showing people that we love them, then we use, the Krishna factor to really exploit people. I'll give you another example. I was in one country, and there was a girl who was studying accounting. Now, she was actually by the temple doing all that, and then she was also serving. Her parents are devoted. And then another president came to that temple, and then checked her out, that you can stay in the temple, so get out. And then the same girl finished her accounting, and the same temple engaged her to do bookkeeping. So it's a point that, the love that Prabhupada established in our movement to be able to draw. You ask any of the Prabhupada disciples, why they gave their lives to Prabhupada? It's because of the love. So if we can re-establish that loving relationship amongst ourselves, and extend ourselves to people, if even they are new, we serve them instead of trying to get them to serve us. Because that is the only way to actually get someone over. The secret of any newly married woman to put her husband in her pocket. You know the secret? If you are just newly married, if you are a young lady, you are just newly married, there's a secret of how to put your husband in your pocket. Or in your purse. Yes. Just lovingly serve your husband. At some point in time, if it does not, if you got that really established in his consciousness, that you care for him and you love him and he sees that you really love him, even for 1 hour, if he doesn't see you, he will not have any rest. And in that way, he will do everything to please you. But if you don't really show any love, you don't care for your husband, you don't really want to serve him or help him in any way, and you're just demanding, why don't you love me? Why don't you love me? It doesn't work in that way. So in a similar way, we should see how we are really loving people, and they will sell their whole lives to this movement. They will give their whole lives to this movement. They will serve without any cessation. So that's a nice point you raised, and we've taken cognizance of that. Yeah, we are waning. We're depleting in our loving relationship. And Rupa Goswami wants us to establish that always. That's why he gave a prescription of 6 loving relationships. If we can re-establish that in our lives, our movement will actually be booming once again, like when Prabhupada was there. Hare Krishna. Any other points? All right, so thank you very much. Oh, that's all. Okay, all right. Sure.
Not that we want to tell you that person to chant Hare Krishna and take up the process of devotional service, because when we get, I think it's important that we understand, of course, with love and with a desire to help a person's spiritual advancement, but the process of being simply chanted on posted. And it says, Seva Adhikar, that, you know, please see the privilege of devotional service. So when we engage someone in devotional service, it's not that we're exploiting them, but we should be trying to help them along the path of Krishna consciousness. So even if they can't live with us, or for some circumstance they can't achieve everything they want, if they can engage in personal service, it's a great benefit for them. So I just wanted to kind of give the balance on the other side. So Prabhupada's presence is greatly missed, and his inspiration for us and his compassionate nature is greatly missed. But at the same time, many devotees are very loving and compassionate, and many people are coming to Krishna consciousness and the country in order to travel. So we can always improve.
Sure. That's a good point you raise. I concur with what you said in terms of the fact that there are many, many loving devotees. In fact, if there were not many loving devotees, we wouldn't be here either. And that's a good point. At the same time, what I mentioned is not that if you engage someone in devotional service, that is against the process. But take for instance, if we engage someone, some devotees are under our care. And that is the difference between being a leader and a manager. If some devotees are under our care, then we should provide for their needs. That's the point I'm trying to cut across. And so if we say, well, you just serve, and I'm not going to be responsible for you, but that's a different thing. They're not going to feel encouraged to continue, because we are not all paramahamsas. The paramahamsas, they know, well, I have to do what is needful to purify myself. But conditioned souls, if they don't get inspired, if they are not inspired by our own works, by our words, by our deeds, by our example, then the devotional energy is not so intense, and they will win very fast. So yes, your point is very much correct. There are a number of the fact that there are many, many loving devotees in our movement, and that is why even for those of us who are of the second generation, that's why we've been hanging around all these years. If there are no loving people, we wouldn't be hanging around. But there is no limit to which we can improve, like again you mentioned. And essentially, what we do is that we also have to embark on some critique. A critique means we should find our weaknesses and then improve on those areas, and then also identify our good areas to be again to improve more in those areas. So thank you very much, Mataji. What's your name again? I thought I met you in Gitan Angri or something. Okay. All right. Thank you. Any other comments or points? Yes. There's someone behind there. Okay.
You were mentioning that approaching a master, and also you made an example of the college and credit chains. And so, for me, whenever I service, I consider myself part of the movement, and whatever service I do, it's to help this movement. But at the same time, I haven't that I appreciate.
Okay. The process is a gradual process, okay? Even Prabhupada, the devotees who met him, they didn't meet him just on that day, and then he gets them initiated. They were with him, they served for quite a while, and after some time before, he got them initiated. So you are on the path, and it's a matter of really keep treading on. I bet, initiation issue comes with time, and there are many gurus in ISKCON. You can always choose whom you want to take instructions from or whom you want to get diksha from. But we shouldn't rush into it. We should examine, the people we want to work with and take time, our busy schedule, to be able to examine ourselves also how well we'll be able to become committed to the instructions of the spiritual master. I mean, eventually, we should do that. Because also we find that, in some cases, some people will say, well, I think I just have to serve and that's it. But again, Krishna has mentioned we should become mentees of someone so that it makes it easy. Because sometimes we get confused about what to do and what not to do. And so if we have someone who has to give us instructions, then it makes a lot of difference. So don't be in a hurry, okay? And don't feel that you're left out. Do your service, keep doing your service, and with time you should be able to take shelter of someone. Okay? Is it clear?
So
yes.
So I'm just going from class to class. Is that?
No, you're doing the service you're doing. Okay? You can increase in your service, but this is an important factor, that at some point in time you should align with someone in devotional service who is going to be your diksha guru, who is going to give you harinam initiation. You understand? Yeah. We don't preach that. You come to the movement and you don't need to have any you need to have a mentor, you don't need to take instructions, you don't need to have a guru, a spiritual master. Even those who are initiated now, even Prabhupada disciples who are initiated now, the disciples are linked up to Prabhupada and eventually, all to Krishna. So it's a lineage of, a parampara system that we need to connect with at some point in time. I'm not saying now, just now, you must do it right now. No, that's not the point, okay? You understand now? Is it clear? Is it clear to you?
I think I gotta just sit with that.
It's not clear to you? Okay. Yes. Okay.
I guess like I feel like I'm like directly connected to Prabhupada, and that's why I haven't really. That's one of the reasons why I haven't personally done that.
No, but you see, the point is, yeah, accepting Prabhupada, for all of us, Prabhupada is our spiritual master. Okay, at the same time, you need to have perhaps a disciple of Prabhupada or any other guru in ISKCON who will be able to guide your life, who will be able to guide your devotional life. Because Lord Krishna mentions that tad vidi panipatena paripatena seva upadeshanite gyanam gyana tata dashana. Approach means that the person should be on the planet, person who wants to guide you should be on the planet, should be accessible. It's a simple literary term. He said, Krishna himself mentioned approach. So, having taken shelter of Prabhupada, in fact, that is the general principle in ISKCON. People come, they should take shelter of Prabhupada. But at some point in time, they should be matured to this enough to be able to accept a spiritual master in ISKCON. It's just the laid down principle, and that is there. That is what is there in the Bhagavad Gita. If we are very advanced that, you know, we want to make Prabhupada as our Diksha Guru, so how are you going to get the Harinam initiation? What is prevalent in this corner is that at least for the first 6 months or so, you are supposed to simply take shelter of Prabhupada. And even after taking initiation, Prabhupada is the shelter. You understand the point now? There's nothing wrong in your mindset. But then, you know, again, you have to go beyond that, that at some point in time, you have to, you know, link up in the parampara by accepting someone who is representing Prabhupada to be able to take Diksha. And then, you know, that is a spiritual connection. You are connected already, but it has to be formalized at some point in time. There should be some external and internal connection, formalization. And that is basically what. Because in the Prabhupada is physically not there on the planet, and so you could just read from his books and say, well, you know, I don't need any guru, or my guru is Prabhupada. Okay? And you don't have anybody who will be able to direct you. Because those who took initiation of Prabhupada, they were so lucky. But, you know, some of us weren't that much lucky, and but Prabhupada has extended his mercy to us also. So he has his disciples who are initiating. He has, you know, also in some cases we have even other Prabhupada's grand disciples who are even initiating. But then accepting the shelter of a spiritual master is imperative in devotional culture. That's our preaching, that is our culture, and that is the ethics. Is it clear? Anyway, if it's not clear, you can still see me after.
I just feel like growing up and being born in the movement, like I feel like a lot of the people even in this community have been that guide. And that's how come I'm here now, because of the mercy of my teachers and, you know, all of the devotees here.
Yeah. Mataji, answer, help out.
Well, first of all, part of taking shelter of Prabhupada is following his instructions. And part of following his instructions means to... I was in Srila Prabhupada's quarters in 1970 and was in Los Angeles. And Srila Prabhupada was saying to one devotee at that time that he should learn... I was pregnant, and he said... He asked my husband, do you know how to perform a fire sacrifice? Because we were going to do the initiation for somebody who couldn't come to America. And he said, no, I don't know how. Srila Prabhupada said, you should learn. He said, just like your wife, he said, first she was immature, But now she is mature and she will have children of her own. He said, in a similar way, in the future, you will become mature and you will also have children of your own. And therefore, you need to know how to do this initiation ceremony. So even at the very beginning, and from the very beginning, Prabhupada was always telling us, I'm an old man, I may leave at any moment. And he expected us to carry on parampara by, you know, by becoming qualified, by many devotees becoming qualified. But from our, that's one point of view. The other point of view is from our own internal point of view, that there's one thing to have many teachers, many shiksha gurus, many persons who help you, but it's a different thing to actually surrender your will to somebody and say, now I'm a soul surrendered unto you, please instruct me. And knowing that that instruction may sometimes pinch, may sometimes be uncomfortable, that you may say, well, you know, I know, and I've heard it many times, even from my own family, you know, I know that Srila Prabhupada wouldn't care if I did fill in the blank. Because in my heart, he knows that I love him. But Prabhupada did care. Many times we did things out of love, and Prabhupada said, what are you doing? Where'd you get that from? Or, you know, or that's not right. You shouldn't do that. So we need guidance, and to some extent it's a kind of a false conception of ourselves that we're so advanced that we can, you know, just kind of get this conduit with Srila Prabhupada directly, and he will just tell us what to do. I would assume there are certain Mahabhagwats that are able to do that, but for the vast majority of devotees, it's very helpful to have that surrendered mood towards a devotee and to have that exclusive sense of service and reciprocation in submission. Submission is something Westerners have a really hard time with. The concept of bow down, mister. You know, I mean, it's like, what do you mean? To who? So we need to cultivate that, and that requires an act of submission, and that's what diksha is. That's what initiation is. It's a formal vow of submission, and it's essential for going back to Godhead. So yeah, you can attend classes and you can even get credits, but to get the degree, you have to get diksha.
Thank you very much. Yes,
Sometimes devotees get pushed, oh, you should take from this one, you should take from this one. But just like Krishna said, Ishvara Sarvabhuta Namridesha Arjunatishtati, that he's the personality who's residing within our heart as Chaitya Guru. And the Guru is the external manifestation of the Super Soul. So actually one, in terms of taking initiation, Srila Prabhupada actually said that the Guru examines the prospective disciple and the disciple examines the prospective Guru. So that actually in terms of one going into and taking initiation, which actually is a commitment, it's not just simply saying, okay, I'm going to chant 16 rounds and follow the four of the principles. Initiation is actually the planting of the seed of Divya Gyan. So one has to have, just like Yasya Deve Para Bhaktir Yata Deve Tathagata, one has to have implicit faith in that personality who one is accepting as the Guru and see them as non-different from the Super Soul. In other words, the Super Soul is coming in the form of Guru to give instruction, because we don't always necessarily understand the voice of Krishna in the heart as opposed to the mind. So Srila Prabhupada himself had waited 11 years before he accepted initiation from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. Although, of course, when Srila Prabhupada first came in contact with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada knew that this is my guru. And due to circumstance or lila, the time wait was 11 years. So.
Thank you very much. So with those two inputs, are you okay now? Anyway, If you are not, if you are still confused about it, you can see me later. We can discuss it. But they are, I mean, it's so clear. These are Prabhupada disciples, and it's not a matter of. It's not the other way around that, you know. We just have to be like that. That culture is also there with some people. But we have to change our mindsets because we need help. All right, so thank you very much, and I hope to see you again. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.